If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I've got a word for this morning that I feel like the Lord put on my heart, and there's a couple passages of Scripture we're going to look at. But the title of the message today is Joy Strength. Joy Strength. Finding strength in our weakness. Amen? You know, when this thing happened this week, you know, it was certainly a test of joy strength. And all of us, maybe you're having a great day today. Maybe everything's going great. And then you may, some of you going through, and I know there's people in this congregation going through trials and struggles. I've already shared with you about mine. I know there's those here. But the thing that's so great about the joy of the Lord is that it is our strength, and it's not based on circumstance. It's strength that is not based on circumstance. How to find God's strength in our weakness. Let's take a look at the scripture today. It's out of, the first one is out of Nehemiah 8. 9 through 10. And a little background on Nehemiah. If you've ever read the book of Nehemiah, it's a short book. You know, Nehemiah, we hear about him building the walls of Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, and he was the cupbearer for the king. And he could have been killed for it because he was so sorrowful. He heard about the disaster of Jerusalem and how the walls have been all knocked down. And the king was like, what's going on? And that was risky. But he said to the king what was going on. The king blessed him, and he was able to go back and with a whole host of people build and build and build. And, you know, it's easy to miss some very important details here. This was no easy feat for Nehemiah. If you look in the book of Nehemiah, there is a lot of people going against him, enemies of the cross, or enemies of the gospel, of the good news of the Bible, and enemies of God. They wanted to tear this down. They didn't want to see it happen. So Nehemiah had a lot of struggle to go through to get to this point. And so, but he finally got to the point where they built the entire wall, praise God, and God intervened for him, and he kept the other people at bay. And then, so this scripture says in verse 9, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve. For the joy, say joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the blessing to his reading of his word. Amen. Amen. So how do we obtain this joy of the Lord? You know, here all these battles had happened, and then of course they heard the law, and there was another passage in the scripture where the law was read and people the king was mournful, Josiah. If you've ever read about Josiah, how he didn't know what the law said. It had been buried in hiding or in seclusion, and then he read the law and he's like, oh wow, we've not been fulfilling the law of the Lord. And so that also could bring grief. But here he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So how do we obtain this joy of the Lord? And we've already heard the backstory of Nehemiah. The first point is that joy often comes with a price tag. Joy comes, there's four different things I want to share with you today. Joy often comes with a price tag. In 2 Corinthians 12, and let's go to that portion of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 10. It says, this is a little bit of a passage here, but this is the story of Paul. Paul was talking to the Corinthians at this time because they had been allowing these false teachers come into the Corinthian church, and they were letting these teachers actually abuse them and kind of try to take control over them and just not teaching the truth. And Paul, he's talking about boasting here, and let me just read it. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. About my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, cling to this, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. So joy often comes, what, with a price tag, doesn't it? We glory in our weakness. There you go. It says he gloried in his weakness. He boasted in his weaknesses. You know, what was his weakness? Well, he was weak. And sometimes God doesn't remove the problem. You know, Paul said he was buffeted with this thorn in the flesh. Some think it was maybe something to do with his eyesight. I can relate to that today. Sometimes God doesn't remove the problem. What then? What do we do? C.S. Lewis, when he was praying, some of you have heard of C.S. Lewis, the author of the Chronicles of Narnia and Screwtape Letters and different things. He was married to a wife. His name was Joy. And she faced a life-threatening illness. And he was praying, and there was actually a movie made about him with Anthony Hopkins, I think it was. And as he was praying for his wife and wasn't seeing the answer that he was looking for, he said this. He said, prayer doesn't change God, it changes me. Think about that. Prayer doesn't change God, it changes me. This is the kind of joy God calls us to. It comes with a price tag. That doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? Well, Paul here is, you know, he was boasting in his infirmities. You know, that was where he took his strength. Was he said, what? Then when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, I'm strong. I'll tell you right now, with this eyesight thing right now, I can relate to that today. Is that, you know what, when I'm weak, for one thing, I can't necessarily clearly see if somebody's frowning out there. But you know what? I know that the Lord is intervening because I depend on him. You know, it's those moments sometimes when you find yourself depending on, oh, you know what? I got this. Have you ever found that moment when you're trembling a little bit? I'm not saying God wants us to live in constant state of fear or anxiety, does he? But when you find that you've got to lean on the Lord and you've got to depend on the Lord to do his work or to do something, then you know that it really is of him. Tommy Barnett, one of our pastors out in Arizona, he's got a great quote, and he says, you know that the dream is from God when the dream is bigger than you are. Amen? So you depend on the Lord, and that's what God wants. Sometimes I think that the Lord sometimes has to bring us back to a place. I'm not saying God wants us to have all these horrible things happen or anything like that, but sometimes, how many of you found that the Lord, it was almost like God was pleading with us to come back and get on our knees? Right? And sometimes our experiences and our situations in life, they put us there. Amen. The second point is that real joy comes only from being in God's presence. Amen. Real joy, remember, joy and happiness, two different things. Psalm 16:11. It's up on the screen. You will show me the path of life in your presence is fullness of joy. It doesn't just say joy, it says a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. In God's presence, it says, is fullness of joy. Here's a food for thought. If joy or fullness of joy indicates God's presence, then what does the absence of joy indicate? Is God absent? No, we know from the Word of God that we cannot go anywhere from His Spirit. We can't go anywhere from His presence. It says, if I ascend into heaven, in Psalm 139, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent or everywhere, but where are we? It's not God who moved, is it? Sometimes it's us or our awareness of Him, our problems. Peter lost sight of that when he was on the water, didn't he? He's like, Lord, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. It was that simple. Sometimes we make it complicated. He said, just come. Peter walked out and he was looking at Jesus. His presence was there. But what does it say? When he saw the waves, what happened? He began to sink, didn't he? Was Jesus any less present? No. It was Peter's awareness. May God help us with our awareness of God's presence. Amen? Because it says we will experience full joy in His presence. Amen? Amen. The third point is that joy commands us to thank God in every situation. Every situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you could practically quote it with me. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice it says, and this is in the King James, it says everything is separated. I think that there's something we can emphasize there. Everything. Every problem, every wonderful time, in the good times, in the bad times. Amen? Whatever the situation is, to give thanks and stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this eye situation. I don't fully understand it, but He does. And He's got it in control. Amen? God's got it all. Whatever your situation, He's bigger than that. So much bigger. Many of you have heard of Corrie Ten Boom. Anybody? Corrie, yeah, it's been a few years back. She's with the Lord now. Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch Christian. Her family was Christians. Her father was a clockmaker back in World War II. And at that time, the Jews were looking for places to hide and to hide out from the Nazi regime. And so they came knocking on their door one night at their house. And it was very risky, as you probably all know, for anyone to hide or harbor any Jews. It was already bad enough for the Jews, but anybody that also was giving them shelter. And her family, because they knew the Lord, they knew they could not turn them away. And so they built this room in their house, made a place for them to hide out. And they would do drills with them to make sure that they were ready at any moment's notice. If somebody came knocking on the door, that they would have a place to hide. And because of that, their family was punished and taken into custody. They suspected they were harboring them, and so they took them all the way to the concentration camps. And one of the camps was just, they were all horrible, but in this one particular place where Corrie and her sister were in the concentration camp and treated mercilessly, there was one area they decided to send them, because they were praying. They were having Bible study in this concentration camp. Hallelujah. You know, God can't. Paul the Apostle did the same. He rejoiced in jail, didn't he? The Lord's presence is there. You talk about giving thanks in all circumstances. And Corey's there. They're praying. And they had, I think, an infestation of lice in this area where they were staying. This house that they sent these particular ladies to stay. And Corey's complaining about all this pests and everything. And her sister goes, the Bible says give thanks in all circumstances. She's like, no. Okay, I can see, yeah, giving thanks for the lice. Are you serious? And they did. They prayed, said, Lord, thank you for these bugs. Thank you for the lice. And the good thing is, because it was so infested, the soldiers would not come in and take advantage of them. They left them alone, and they were able to have Bibles. Hallelujah! Isn't that great? It sounds, well, how's that great? Well, the Lord has a way of making it possible for us to have victory. Amen. And so that is one way that God gives us, you know, not just the good times, the bad times as well. We think how is that? You've heard the phrase, a blessing in disguise? Yes? God has a blessing in disguise. Amen. I hope this is resonating with you all. It is with me. Amen. And then the fourth thing, last but not least, is joy sometimes comes. And this may sound terrible, but I promise we'll bring it to a happy close here, a joyful close. Joy sometimes comes only after a period of sorrow. It's like there's a gorge that we have to cross over called sorrow. The psalmist said it well. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even just the shadow of it, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. He promised, he said, in your world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he promised to never leave us. Hallelujah. Never forsake us. Psalm 30, verse 5, the second part, says, it's on the screen, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. You may be in a night right now of your life. There was an old song years ago, a singer named Evie, she used to sing a song called Part the Waters. When I think I'm going under, part the waters, Lord. When I feel the waves around me, calm the sea. When I cry for help, oh, hear me, dear Lord, and hold out your hand. Touch my life, still the raging storm in me. And the chorus says, knowing you love me helps me face another day. Hearing your footsteps drives the doubts and fears away. And in the night of my life, you bring the promise of day. Here is my hand, show me the way. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to bring us through our night and bring us to joy in the morning. In Pilgrim's Progress, how many of you remember an old story? This is from the 1600s. John Bunyan was in jail for his faith. And the Lord gave him this fabulous dream, an allegory, an entire one. I actually taught it to first graders in an allegory form. And we did visuals and all kinds of cool stuff. We even made a map of how they were going, how this story went by. It's a story of a man named Pilgrim who is plagued by a burden of sin, as we all were before we knew the Lord. Amen. This burden, and my kids made these little backpacks out of paper bags and stuff, and so forth. But to visualize this, make it very hands-on. And as he gets on the road to the celestial city, God calls him away, and he wants to find peace and get rid of that burden of his sin. And he goes through, but he goes through this valley of the shadow of death where he felt like even the scriptures weren't helping him. You remember that moment when you feel like the word of God, I know it's effective, but there's a barrier. And you feel like, I know the songs to sing, I know the prayers to pray, but I'm still feeling clouded. You ever called out just in that moment, say Jesus, just say the name of Jesus. You cry it out and say, God, I'm in a desperate situation. I have nothing I can give right now except cry out your name. He'll be there for you. He's there for you, my friend. He's there. He's been there for me. I've seen it in my family. I've seen it myself. Amen? And in the night of his life, a man by the name of Horatio Spafford, some of you may have heard this story before. I love the hymns, the old hymns. I love the new songs, but also some of those old hymns, some of the stories that are behind them. And this one that we all know, It Is Well With My Soul. Horatio Spafford had a family of about four or five girls and his wife, and they were sailing, not him, but they were sailing. I may have it wrong. He may have been with them, but either way, he was on the ship. They were on the ship, and the ship went down in sea, and he lost all of his children. And his wife lived, but the children all perished at sea. And he went back out. I think that's what it was. He went back out on another ship to the place where the ship went down. And the Lord gave him the words to this wonderful hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, whatever my situation, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. That's the joy that God wants us to give us. Not joy that is circumstantial, because the thing about happiness is it rises and falls on our situation, doesn't it? Oh, well, it's a happy situation. I'm in a happy place. You know, I'll go to my happy place. That's a buzz phrase we hear a lot. But joy is one that rises and falls in the storm. It actually is more steadfast. When my father passed away in 2008, actually the summer before that, and I felt like there were things God gave me as indicators, kind of clues that something was coming, and I didn't know what it was. But I was out in the summertime, that summer before he was diagnosed, and God put this heart, and I was on the beach, and I love it because the Lord gives me songs sometimes out at the ocean, and I know a lot of you love it too. And this, he gave me the words, and I've actually sung it here before, and said, one summer night as I was sat by the ocean and saw the crimson sun bid me goodnight, I saw something brand new on the horizon right where the water meets the sky. I watched the ripples tumble as the tide fell and thought about the way sea storms arise. But then I noticed such a calm, straight line right where the water meets the sky. Where the water and the sky come together in a line, it will never change its shape, though storm waves gather. And it reminds me of the times God has been there in my life. He has promised peace in any kind of weather. If you look at the horizon, you notice, even in a stormy or, when it's a rainy or whatever, if you look in the horizon, it's one straight line. I thought, what a visual. That's how God wants us. He wants our joy to be steady. But that comes with praise and prayer and rehearsal, doesn't it? We have to rehearse that right there. I'm coming to a close, I promise. There's just a few profiles in joy I want to quickly go through. You can go on down to, there you go. Some profiles in joy. Who are these profiles in joy? Just real quickly, and I don't know how easy it is to read them. It's kind of small, but I'll just read them off to you. How many of you recognize this lady? Johnny Erickson Tada. She's from this area, actually. She was from the Baltimore area. She was from an athletic, active Maryland family, but she was paralyzed from the neck down at the age of 17 in a diving accident. Prayed over many times for healing. Not that she didn't believe in prayer and healing, but the Lord, for whatever reason, has not yet fulfilled that healing in her body. She married a wonderful Christian husband. She founded what's called Wheels for the World, which gives away wheelchairs all over the globe to people that are in need. She's, you think, how could she possibly do? She even has a vehicle that she's able to maneuver. She's a worldwide and renowned Christian speaker, author, and singer, accomplished painter with her mouth. Isn't that fascinating? And have you ever seen her art? Anybody ever seen her art? Oh my goodness, it's amazing. You'd think, how is it possible to have that happen with a mouth, with just a pen in your mouth? She exudes God's joy. Every time you hear her speak, I'm uplifted. She's got the word coming out of her, and you can see it. Now, some of you may have seen this one, this next guy. Nick Vujicic. Yes. Seen him? Yes. What a fascinating, what an inspiring man. He was born in Australia without arms or legs, struggled through childhood with loneliness, depression, and questioned his purpose in life. He refused to let his condition limit his lifestyle, and his faith in God gave him a victory inspired by friends and family. Now he travels the world, speaking to students, teachers, businessmen, and churches, and he established what's called Life Without Limbs. It's a ministry that he's president and the CEO. He's an author, musician, an actor, and likes to fish, paint, and swim. And he's married with two children. He exudes the joy of the Lord. What an impact. Folks, that then we think we've had it, we're done in. There's somebody that's got a situation that we think, man, and yet they don't let that daunt them. I can't leave out these last two. Paul the Apostle, he was a profile in joy. He frequently was imprisoned, and yet he sang in prison. He was severely flogged and repeatedly exposed to death. He said this, if you look in the scriptures, beaten 39 times with lashes and 3 times with rods. He was pelted once with stones, shipwrecked 3 times, spent 24 hours in the open sea, endangered by rivers, bandits, fellow Jews, Gentiles, false believers in the city, in the country, and at sea. He was overworked and often sleepless. Oh, I need my sleep, right? It's like, oh Lord, surely you were sleepless. He experienced hunger, thirst, cold, and nakedness, was pressured with concern for all the churches. And this one gets me. He said he was weak and burned with sinful temptation. That he too went through that. Through all this, he also, you read Romans 7, it tells you right there. He was feeling that. And yet, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And we can't leave out our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Born of a virgin, likely viewed as illegitimate. Born in Bethlehem, dragged off to Africa, then back to Nazareth. I mean, you talk about traveling in his childhood. No formal education other than the synagogue. His own brothers did not believe in him. They mocked him. There was no evidence of him having a courtship and definitely not a spouse, at least not on this earth. He lost his earthly father and left to care for his mother. He was a late bloomer with ministry. He was 30 years old. and spent 3 years after that doing ministry. I like to think of it, Jesus was looking for his audience. He was learning his world, his audience, and then he went out. It's not quantity, it's quality. Amen? Okay? And then eventually he was abandoned. He was persecuted by the religious leaders throughout his ministry, abandoned by some disciples during his ministry, and eventually by all his disciples at his arrest and his trial. He was denied and given over to the Roman soldiers by Judas Iscariot, as we know. And yet, what does the word say? For joy, say joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sits at the right hand of God the Father. There's sometimes that gap in between, isn't there? But joy is awaiting on the other side. Joy is waiting on the other side. The Lord will not let you down with joy. It may not come the way you want it to. It may not come the way you expect it to. But there's joy in store for you and me. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's recap. Number one, joy often comes with a price tag. Number two, real joy comes only from being in God's presence, his full presence. Number three, joy commands us to thank God in every circumstance, every situation. And number four, joy sometimes comes only after a period of sorrow. But remember, happiness is circumstantial. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Lord, for the joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.